You know, I've been mentioning to you in these Sundays where we've kind of gone back into the wearing of green vestments and so on, that we're entering into it's called ordinary time or time throughout the year. And we look a lot at discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And one of the things that it means is that we're going to suffer in life, both because we're a disciple, but also just because we're living in a fallen world. We're living in paradise lost. And so part of the experience of a disciple that we've looked at these last two Sundays, last Sunday and this one as well, is the fact that there is suffering, there are trials and difficulties, and yet still the call to have faith. A disciple is one who is steadfast in the faith, even in the midst of storms and trials and difficulties and disappointments. And that's at the heart of the story today of a man named Jairus. And if you're prepared to accept it, of course, you are Jairus. It's not a story about some guy just 2,000 years ago. His story is my story, it's your story. And there's also a wonderful story nestled in here of a woman who has faith, comes to faith, and receives healing. And again, if you're prepared to accept it, you're the woman. So let's look at this journey of Jairus and look at some of the elements of discipleship and what we're taught about being disciples in a world in which we will suffer. You know, the basic message of the Lord here for every disciple is, in this world you shall have tribulation, but have confidence, I have overcome the world. And so, again, this is the teaching today of discipleship. Going, if you will, from despair to deliverance, the story of Jairus. The subtitle is on a old gospel song, I Almost Let Go. I said, I almost let go. And we'll talk about that at the end. Notice first in this journey of Jairus that there's a trial. There is, if you will, a trauma or a difficulty in his life. And it's simply, we're given this information that his daughter is dying. And at the point of death, not just in danger of death, but at the point of death. And he runs to Jesus and falls to his knees before Jesus and says, please come heal my daughter. Lay your hands on her and she'll get well. Now, I want to say, don't know anything about Jairus personally, but we're told that he is a synagogue official, a high official, a ranking official. And you notice how he just throws his dignity aside. Whatever leadership, whatever authority, whatever dignity he has, he throws it aside and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And what is it that makes him do this? It's the trial that he's going through. Now, whether Jairus needed to be humbled or any of this, I don't know. But I know that for many of us, when we look to why does God permit trials in our life? There are many mysteries, but we certainly talked a lot about why. One of the things that we all need is to be humbled. And that's what's happening to Jairus here. He's surrendering his dignity. He's falling at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I can't solve this. I don't have enough money or power. I can't just pull it off on the personality and the ego that I have. This is not something I can do anything about. And he humbles himself. And so in all of our lives, one of the purposes of trials is to bring us to greater humility, is to bring us to greater faith, to bring us more wholeheartedly to the Lord and our knowledge of our need for the Lord. Now, whether you know you need the Lord or not, you do. Every beat of your heart, he's holding you together in being. A lot of folks just go on forgetful that they need the Lord. But every now and again, there's just going to be these reminders. Now, listen, I'm not saying that's the only reason there's trials in your life or mine. There's a mysterious dimension. But let this trial, though, at least remind all of us that one of the ways that God, if you will, gets our attention, helps to humble us, keeps us calling on him, is to permit some of these difficulties. Now, Church, he shouldn't have to do it that way. Come on. Come on, church. Are you praying with me? He should not have to. But sometimes it's about the only thing that's going to get our attention. Remember old Mahalia Jackson had that beautiful song that says, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. And it goes on, don't take away my stumbling block, but lead me all around it. Because, Lord, when the way gets too easy, I tend to stray from thee. So there's a kind of an understanding in a song like that, that even though God should not have to, he loves us too much to simply let us go off in confusion and pride and think that we don't need any help in life. So this man named Jairus, which is you, which is me, is undergoing a great, great trial. Some of you have been through great trials. I've been through great trials. We've had sudden losses in our life. I see at least two people here who have suddenly lost relatives in the last month. We've all, sometimes at times, lost jobs, had health setbacks, disappointments, trials. And sometimes all we can do is just fall at the feet of Jesus and say, help, help. And so that's where Jairus is, in a great, great trial. Then comes an even stranger thing. We see that not just the trial, and we may wonder why God permits trials, and we have some explanations, but not enough. But now comes an even more irksome thing, the tarrying of Jesus. Now, Jesus could have waved his hand and instantly, from wherever he was, cured that girl. In fact, he did that with the centurion's servant. Remember, he says, look, Lord, he says, I'm not worthy to even have you come under my roof, but you just say the word and my servant is going to be healed. And the Lord says, I do will it. Let him be healed. And he was healed that moment. From one city across to the other, those healing rays just went across. God can do it, but he doesn't. He says, let's walk. Let's go to her. But Lord, did you not hear? She's at the point of death. The point of death. You know she might just die if you delay any longer. And guess what? You know the story. The girl dies. Why does God tarry? Why does he delay? I don't know. I have some ideas. But I'm not going to stand up here and say I've got all the answers for this. We cry out to God, when, Lord, when? I love the way the morning office always begins. We priests say the office, and it always begins, God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. But the Latin is a little more, Domine ad adjuvandum me festina, which means, Lord, come to my help and hurry up about it. It's a wonderful prayer to begin every morning, amen? Hurry up, Lord. But listen, he doesn't always. At least from our perspective, he takes his sweet time. Now, for God, 1,000 years is like a watch in the night, see? Well, Lord, can you just kind of give me a minute here of your time? He says, in a minute, in 1,000 years. But we don't always know. We need the help now. And he delays. And so Jairus is needing the help now, but the Lord says, well, let's walk. Let's go a ways together. Let's journey toward her. So I don't know. You know, most of you are parents or have been parents. I mean, or, you know, raised your kids. And we've all been children raised by parents. And I'll just say this, that I know this, that you didn't rush to help your child every single time, didn't you? I mean, you have to sometimes let them struggle a little bit and figure a few things out for themselves. You say, you could solve that math problem in 10 seconds flat. Maybe you couldn't. But let's just pretend you were good at math for half a minute and you could have solved that, but you said, no, you got to work through this. See, now that's a simple math problem, but there might have been some other things, right, that are a little tougher. And sometimes you just know when you got to kind of step back and let the kid kind of get through the stages, maybe fall off the bike a few times, skin the knee, and in order to learn how to ride that bike. I don't know, a lot. You know the understanding that if you just rush to help your kid at the slightest sign of trouble, that kid's never going to grow. And so, I don't know, one of the reasons that God tarries, he delays a bit, he wants us to live some of our questions. He wants us to work through the difficulties. You know, sometimes you lift weights, you don't just go like curl once and you're done. You got to do repetitions. Amen? None of y'all lift weights, do you? Okay, well. I lift weights every day. I lift my body up. It's getting heavier all the time. Okay. Somebody said, Father, you got to get into better shape. And I said, round is a shape. Okay. Back to the journey here. And now, now I expect a lot of you after to say, oh, Father, you look just fine. Thank you. No. I'll pay you royally. Okay. Now, look, there's a tarrying. It's mysterious. We see a little bit of why it makes sense, but we don't always understand why it makes sense. It's just there. And if you're going to be a disciple, you sometimes have to accept the fact that there's going to be trials, and sometimes the Lord's going to delay, and we're not always going to understand everything. We're not always going to have a simple answer from God about everything. Are you still going to stay a disciple is the question. Are you still going to walk with Jesus? Because you see, some people just get sullen, they get angry, and they go away. Bad idea. Can I just make that for the record? Bad idea. Now, we see there's a trial and there's a tarrying. And in the middle of this journey, though, there's this remarkable testimony. The story of a woman who for 12 years has suffered. And finally, after all these years of suffering, she has finally come to a place where her faith is strong enough to claim a healing right out of Jesus, just to call it out of him. And so she runs up and she says, if I just touch the hem of his garment, and you know the story, the Lord felt healing power go out of him. It's a remarkable story. The Lord is astonished. Who had such faith that they could just draw healing power out of me? He wants to meet this woman. Who was she? Now, as God, he knows, but you see the vision here. The Lord is trying to teach Jairus something here too. Now, as Jairus is making this journey, and the Lord is delaying and allowing this trial, Jairus needs a testimony. Now, in your journey and in my journey, we need the same. Now, church, I've seen a lot of good things happen to folks who had faith. I've seen healings. I've seen demons cast out. I've seen sorrows turn to joy. I have seen people who were struggling with sin come free from it. I've seen people who were away from God find their way back. I've seen marriages be reconciled. I have seen people with illnesses have strange and miraculous healings. I've seen these things, and I pray you have too. But listen to the testimony. We need to seek testimony from one another, because God puts those testimonies out there for you and me to say, now you see, here's an audiovisual aid that of something that will begin to happen for you if you will just stay with me in this journey. Now don't give up. And so Jairus is, this woman is being healed for her own sake. But the Lord is also allowing her testimony to strengthen Jairus. And you and I are Jairus. This woman touches Jesus and healing power goes out. Now, it's a wonderful little sidebar here. I want to just mention, because Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples, typical inept response. Well, what do you mean, who touched you? Hundreds of people are bumping up against you. And yet you ask, who touched me? The Lord didn't ask who bumped up against him. The Lord said, who touched me? Are you the sort of a Christian who bumps up against Jesus? He's on the periphery of your life? Are you the sort of person who touches Jesus through faith and clings to him? By the way, you know that's the source of the word religion. People just, oh, I'm spiritual, not religious. They think religion just refers to institutional religion. Religion is a beautiful word. It means in the Latin to be embraced and to embrace. Religere means to be held fast or bound. It's God's way of hugging us and our way of hugging God, holding on and not letting go. That's religion. It means to be tied together with God. And you know I'm heading for that song. You see, Jesus held me fast so I wouldn't let go. That's the word religion. It means to be embraced, held fast, bound by cords of love to God. And this woman touches him, doesn't just bump up against him. And he is amazed at her faith, so amazed that he wants to meet her. There's an old spiritual that says, King Jesus is a-listening all day long just to hear some sinner pray. Now, the song isn't just getting at hearing a bunch of recited words, but to hear some sinner pray. I mean, really pray. Lord, you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you will do it. Oh, the Lord's waiting all day long to hear some sinner pray like that. It took this woman 12 years to get to that point. 12 years. I hope it doesn't take me quite as long. She see the point, right? The Lord is utterly amazed at her faith. And he says that to her. Yes, I healed you, but it was really your faith that healed you. People say if there were more miracles, there'd be more faith. No, there'd be more miracles if there was more. In other words, faith produces miracles. Faith is not the result of miracles. Faith is the cause of miracles. And so there is this remarkable thing. Now, you're going to come up in communion today. And you're going to touch Jesus, many of you. Many of you will receive him today. Will you just bump up against him? Body of Christ? Or will you really touch him? Will I, as a priest, I'll handle Christ. Will I just bump up against him? Or will I hold him today and touch him in faith and be healed? You know, many people put more faith in Tylenol than they do Holy Communion. Because when you take Tylenol, you expect something to happen. You expect the pain to go away. You expect the suffering to be alleviated. You expect the swelling to go down. Do you expect anything when you receive Holy Communion today? Oh, church, I'm telling you right now, King Jesus is a-listening all day long just to hear some sinner pray and really touch him. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the wounded soul. But do we have the faith to really trust that? So again, this is a sidebar, but it's a very important one, which is, think of Jairus. Poor Jairus, he's like, oh man, she's dying. We got to get there. And all of a sudden this woman comes up and interrupts. Careful. You just don't know who God will put in your life. And you'll think there'll be an interruption, but God's trying to tell you something right now. I said, God is trying to tell you something right now. And so it is. There's a trial that this man is going through. There's a tarrying. But there's this testimony, a remarkable testimony, to which the Lord heals this woman for her sake, but then in effect says to you and to me, Jairus, did you just see what happened? How about you? Are you going to keep walking with me? Are you going to keep journeying? Are you going to trust? Is your faith going to grow? Are you going to learn to touch me in faith? Well, then comes another twist in the story. After all this comes a moment of temptation. At that very moment, after all this testimony, this reassurance, comes the word. While Jesus was still saying this, the synagogue officials, members of his house arrived and said, your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Come home. All is lost. Despair, hopelessness, nothing can be done. It's over. Finished. Now that's a temptation, right? Hello? And we've all been at places in our life where we say, I can't go on. My life will never be happy again. Maybe it was a sudden loss. Maybe it was a loss of a job. Maybe it was some terrible thing that was causing you grief or fear, bills you couldn't pay. I don't know. But we've been in moments like that. There was a time in my life where I didn't think I could go on. I thought my priesthood would be minimal at best. I could never be a pastor. I'd just be too anxious and have to stay on medicine to calm my nerves all my life. I thought I'd never be healthy again, and now you can't shut me up. Praise God. Some of you have testimonies of your own, amen? Maybe you went through a painful loss, and it still hurts, but you're okay now. But listen, there's going to always be this temptation from the world, the flesh, or the devil to say, look, it's over, finished. Now listen, you've got to, again, that's why accumulating testimonies, your own testimony and the testimonies of others is important. And I would also say to you, read church history. You know, the church is a miracle. I cannot tell you how many times it has been predicted that the church was just going to go away. People who tried to destroy the church, who laughed at, ridiculed, introduced heresies and all kinds of error and confusion. Listen, I'm going to just say this to you. Empires have come and gone. Nations have risen and fallen. Enemies have come and gone. Heresies have come and gone. But the church is still here preaching the gospel. Where is Caesar now? Where is Julius? Where is Nero? Where is Diocletian? Where are they now? They're dead and their palaces are destroyed, and the Pope comes out at the window right where their palace used to stand and greets millions. Where is Napoleon? Where is the Soviet Socialist Republic? Where is Chairman Mao? Where are they now? We're still preaching the gospel, and they said they would bury us. They said, your time is up. You're irrelevant. You're out of touch. You don't know. And cultures, nations, all this comes and goes, and yet still here we are. The word of the Lord remains forever. And that's an important testimony too, because at times in our life we wonder, is God true? Is all this for real? And there's going to be some who say, hey, I'm an atheist. You silly believers. You don't believe in that spaghetti monster God. Yes, I do. And long after that atheist and that atheistic movement and all these things have come and gone, we're still going to be preaching the gospel. And that's just the history of the church for over 2,000 years now. You know, it's a miracle. If the church was depending on us, it would have lasted 20 minutes max. But if it's depending on God, and it is, we're still here. So are you praying with me, church? So all of these are ways of saying there's going to be temptations, though. It's over. Your life, you'll never be happy again. Something, you know, look, keep walking with the Lord. Keep walking. Whatever the loss, whatever the tragedy, whatever the sorrow, keep walking. Don't give up. That's discipleship. It means to follow the Lord. And he said, you'll have tribulations, trials, but you have confidence. I have overcome the world, and I have set my church and my word on solid rock. And you make sure your anchor holds to that solid rock. So we see that there is again a trial, a tarrying, a beautiful testimony. But then comes a temptation. And then simply this, the demand from the Lord. Trust, he says. There is no need to be afraid. Just have faith. Again, Jairus, are you coming with me or not? But she's dead. What good will it do? Jairus, are you coming with me or not? Now, brethren, even if you've lost a loved one, and even tragically, if you will walk with the Lord, you will see them again. Are you praying with me? So the Lord says, I can't explain everything to you now, but I want you to walk with me. And that's the simple teaching of the Lord. Trust. Be a disciple. Learn from me. Trust. So Jairus is a smart guy, and he stays with Jesus. Now, there comes then, finally, then, this triumph. They come, and all the funeral dirges are being sung, and Jesus says, she's not really dead. She's just asleep. And they ridiculed him. Ridicule! He put them all out. It's one of my favorite. He just put them out. Took it with him, Peter, James, and John, and I'm sure Jairus, and they went in. And there's this beautiful, tender moment where Jesus just says, Talitha kaum, little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Isn't it a beautiful line? So tender, so beautiful. And then, even more tenderly, he says to Jairus, now give her something to eat. You know, it's kind of hard to die and rise from the dead all in one day, you know? Give her something to eat. It's a beautiful little line, but the triumph. And why? Because Jairus stayed the course, stayed with Jesus, did not give up. Now listen, part of having faith means that sometimes God will say no to us, or he'll say later. But I promise you, because I wanted to check just to make sure it's still there this morning, so I went to the last page of the Bible, just to make sure it's still there. It still says this, Jesus wins. Don't give up, don't give in. With Jesus Christ, you're going to win. You are on the winning team as long as you stay with Jesus. You walk away from him, all bets are off. Just beg you can find your way back. Stay with Jesus. Stay the course. Walk with him. Beautiful old song just says, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There is a great camp meeting in the promised land. So whatever the trials, the difficulties, the Lord didn't say we wouldn't have them. He said just the opposite. You will have tribulation, but have confidence. Just have faith. I have overcome this world. You're going to get beat up and bruised by it at times, but I'm going to heal you, and everything you suffer, I will never forget. If you carry it in faith, it will become a cause for your glory. You walk with me now, says the Lord, and don't turn back. So in whatever sufferings, Jesus said to that little girl, arise, little girl, get up. So in suffering and just sickness, just say, I'll rise. In setbacks and sorrows, just say, I'll rise. Tears in my eyes, I'll rise. Temptations against my faith, I'll rise. No money in my pocket and struggles with sin, just say, I'll rise. On the rough side of the mountain, I'm going to rise. Though death is surely coming for me one day, I will rise because he will lead me over the valley of the shadow of death. To the other shore. I'm going to rise. And as long as you make this journey with Jesus, the victory will be yours. You're going to rise. So I want to just finish by saying that I have it on the best of authority that Jairus finished this gospel by singing a gospel song. He just said, I almost let go. I was right on the edge of a breakthrough, but I couldn't see it. The devil really had me. But Jesus came and grabbed me, and he held me close. Religion, he held me close so I wouldn't let go. He held me close. See, I almost gave up. I almost gave in. But the key word, almost. You walk with Jesus now. Walk with Jesus. He'll give you the victory. Amen.